It is Locked On Jazz for the 4th of September. A look at the things that might be a bit disconcerting a day after looking at all the things that are positive. Plus a season recap with a live audience taking your thoughts and your comments. It's all on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, hopefully making it better for you to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks to hello to everybody who's on Instagram at DLock09, live on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, all on Locked On Live on Periscope at Locked On Sports. Thanks very much for tuning into today's program. Please make the chat room active today. We want to take your comments, your thoughts, and kind of look at the Jazz, where they sit today, September 4th, kind of a weird, compared to maybe where they would have sat at this point, you know, last May when we finished, or late April when we finished against the Rockets. What's different? How are we different? Seems like in that aspect, and we'll talk about the offseason. There's been a lot of questions the offseason. I've kind of blown them all off. We can actually take those offseason comments and questions now. They seem appropriate. So let's get to that. Let's touch on that. Let me start with, I think, the biggest area where we're probably different than we were, whatever, 19 months ago. At the end of the Rockets series, I don't know that we were comfortable with the idea that Donovan Mitchell was ready to be a primary ball handler. I don't want to call it point guard. I want to call it primary ball handler, decision maker. And the growth that he showed this season, as well as in the playoffs, I think really changes the perception of that. And then I think you start piecing the roles around that a bit differently as well because of that. So to me, that's the number one change. If we're really honest about Donovan and where he was at this point 15 months ago, he had come off a not very good series in Houston. His decision-making wasn't perfect. And I think there was a feeling that, you know, frankly, we needed Mike Conley. You know, we needed, and that was the feeling at the trade deadline that year too. And there was nothing that had changed the opinion. Now, the way Donovan grew this year, the pick and roll improvement between him and Rudy was dramatic. The way he approached the game in the playoffs, and then the way the game changed, like the game is, we talked about this yesterday, that the game is really changing. The off-the-bounce three is a dramatic new play that used to not be okay. I sent out a tweet the other day that basically said that Mike D'Antoni was to Bill Walsh. And I got some fight on that. Let me take a second here. So Mike D'Antoni brings 7 seconds or less in Phoenix, and that completely changes the NBA, right? Like, that was the West Coast offense. And frankly, as he says now, in talking to Mike about this, he wished he had pushed it further, but he doesn't think his players would have followed at that point in time. It was so radical, so different, that if he had pushed further, his players wouldn't have followed him in that circumstance. He goes to Houston. He basically gave James Harden, who's an artist, complete freedom to do whatever he wanted with the game and see the game how he wanted and play it. And what has emerged out of that, by the way, is James Harden's off-the-bounce three, which has changed the game. I mean, it changed the game so dramatically and Harden's brilliance, that last year when we played, we ended up guarding him from behind, right? Like, that's the ultimate sign that the game was broken, when we had to try to guard James Harden from behind, because Harden in his artistry had come up with a step back off the bounce three that was just different than what anybody had ever done in the game. The only one who'd ever done anything similar to that to anyone in the game is Steph Curry, whose head coach was Steve Kerr, who was in Phoenix for a while with Mike D'Antoni. And so when you suddenly look at the impact that those two men have had on the game, the point guard, I bring this up on purpose, the point guard for Mike D'Antoni, Steve Nash, makes the Steve Nash hire make some sense. It's a little bit of a side note, but that's where we're going with the game. This unbelievable freedom, the game stretched, and Donovan matches that. And in turn, your ball handler's different than it once was. Not to mention, I think Mike is different than what we thought he was. Or at least what I thought he was. I'll speak for myself. I thought Mike was much more of a traditional distribute point guard. He's a scorer. I actually think some of this evolution might help Mike. I think we might see Mike really work on his game into some of these new aspects of an off-the-bounce three. Frankly, Joe's pretty good at it at 6'7", coming off the pick too. So I think we'll see that evolve. The game is changing. We talked about it yesterday. The off-the-bounce three is ever so more important. Defending the rim is ever more important. And the reason the off-the-bounce three is so important is that everyone's taking away the rim. And so that's how those two go. The concern when I look at us going forward, if I just want to stay on the theme of I probably have two themes that have me a little concerned. Mike Conley and Joe Ingles aging. Aging in the NBA is not progressive. We all talk about it like it is. It's not. What happens is you go from being viable to unviable in like a blink of an eye. Joe was born in 1987, this October, before we play another game. He'll turn 33. That's old. The argument that Joe will age well because he doesn't use athleticism, I actually believe the exact opposite. I believe Carlos Boozer would be a good example of this. Players who are not physically gifted age worse because they go from being viable to unviable athletically like that. So I get nervous on that. Mike Conley, 9 days later, will turn 33. Okay? Like, you're on the wrong side of it at that point. Does that mean that, no, just concern, right? They're both getting old. The other one I would say is length and size. So Mike 6'1", Donovan 6'1", Joe 6'7", nice. Boyan 6'8", Royce is 6'4". And then maybe it was just not having Boyan. But when we went from 6'8 to 6'4", as much as Royce is physical and strong and does a lot of things, we got small. Rajon Tucker, I think, is small also. Mia Oney is, I'll be curious to see on the Rajon Tucker 6'5", and the Mia Oney 6'5", and the Jarrell Brantley 6'5". Interestingly, all three are at 6'5". Whether those hold when they do measurements next time. Brantley probably holds. He seems like he's bigger than 6'5". Oney, maybe it's actually 6'5". Tucker, it doesn't feel to me like he's 6'5", but boy, is he strong. But it doesn't feel like we're length, right? Defensive length, because more and more and more, Rudy's going to be brought out on the floor. This sounds really arrogant, but I think I was ahead of the game on something that made the Warriors great that wasn't talked about enough as we spread the floor. Secondary rim defenders are going to be the defensive key moving forward in the game. Because we're going to spread the floor, because the off-the-bounce three is becoming so important, because defenses are protecting the rim at such a rate that everything's going to be about pulling the big out of the middle, forcing Rudy to step up on Jamal Murray, forcing Rudy to step out on Dame Lillard, forcing Rudy to switch, and now you secondary rim defenders. We don't have that. Bojan Bogdanović is certainly not. Does Bojan Bogdanović slide to the three? Can we find an athletic four that's a secondary rim defender? Hard to find. But those would be my initial thoughts. All right, we'll get to your questions. Get your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. Chat lines are available for you on Twitter at Locked On Sports, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, all at Locked On Live. Today's show is brought to you in part by my friends over at Murdoch Hyundai. They just do such great work. Blake and the crew over at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. I actually got a direct message from someone the other day who was like, oh my gosh, I'm driving us one of the Sonatas. I wonder if I have the one you were with. It's incredible. I did. I had the Sonata forever. And it truly was an amazing vehicle for the price tag you could get out with all the bells and whistles. The Sonata Limited. I couldn't get one again. I requested it, actually. I've never done that before. I requested, when I went over the miles mark, I requested it, but they've been selling them too fast, and so they did not have any of the limited availables. There's great deals right now on the Kona, which is the small, zippy SUV. Subaru has that Crosstrek that you've seen. Go check out this one. It's the Kona's pretty fabulous in that regard. And then also, go check out, while you're at it, the Palisade, because things are rolling at the Palisade. That is a hot, hot car. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the perfect, most delicious protein energy bar you can get out there. Great taste, super macros, and great pricing. They actually have two disc promos going on right now. You can use Locked On to get your $10 off, or they actually have a discount because it's their birthday. And if you go to builtbar.com, you can use that. Unfortunately, you cannot stack your promo codes, so just decide whichever one you want to use the most. I prefer to use Locked On because we get credit for it, but it's their second birthday, so 22% off. So if the $10 discount is less than 22% off, then make sure you go use that one. You're smart. You can figure that out. Check it out. Built Bar's got, you know what? Here's the best one. Compare Built Bar to the leading men's bar in the macro. The Mint Brownie Bar, 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. You compare that to the leading bar out there, and you are dealing with like 1/4 the calories, 1/7, I'm making these numbers up, but it's close. 1/7 of the sugar, it's all in the right direction. Go check it out, builtbar.com, promo code Locked On or 22% off, whichever is better for you. That expires today. That birthday offer at 22% off expires today. You can build your own all 18 flavors. You can build a bundle of 6 flavors. You can do it all. It's all there for you at builtbar.com. All right, let's get to your questions. Somebody asked about the broadcast. It was done as well as it could be done. Huge credit to Travis Henderson on the Jazz crew, and Jeremy Brunner, who I believe led the work. Jeremy Castro, our boss. They gave us the best environment we could. It's brutal. Like even the last play, Conley, I can't see whether there's somebody back with Donovan. I think Donovan's going to be open all the way down and think Rudy's going to throw the pass there. And you actually really can't tell like whether passes are going to the right or the left on those kind of lobs. So it's brutal. The only thing I liked about it is Jazz assistant coach Mike Wells joined us in the second and fourth quarters, and he'd been in all the coaches' meeting and in everything. So we had better insight than maybe we've ever had before because of Mike Wells. So that would be the only thing I liked about it. Otherwise, frankly, it was incredibly difficult. Everybody else got things in their lives that are much more difficult. Not having the crowd to lift you up as an announcer was really strange. And there are certain things I do when I call a game that that is a reaction to the crowd, or the crowd carries me through a call that weren't there. So it was really, 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 really different. But so this is what we had. So you embrace it. Took some friends of mine to get into me a little bit to get me to embrace it. We got as good a setup as we could have. So I'm really thankful for that. We had incredible access because of Mike. And so that was, I'm really thankful for that. And then just calling it, it's really hard. So I don't know how it sounded. I know everyone did, the NBA did an incredible job. So, anyway, thanks for the question, Miles. I know, let's get to some more phone calls. It's like old school. Spencer, seems like a great defenses have two rim defenders. Hey, could the Jazz find a way to maintain Shooty but add a second rim defender? I think your second rim defender has to be a 6'9 athlete. So if you think about Golden State, who had two rim defenders, they had Andrew Bogut for a while, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant. You think about Milwaukee, who has two rim defenders, they have Lopez and Giannis. So it's got, I think the second rim defender has to be your small forward or power forward who's 6'8", 6'9", really can, is an incredible athlete and can make those kind of plays. And that's how you get your secondary rim defender to alter shots at the rim when they bring your big out. But Spencer, great minds think alike. Appreciate that. Wow, that was like, on Spencer and I didn't plan that at all. Let's go to the big question everybody wants to know. Do you think Boyan would have had a different result? You know, when the offense scuffled, Boyan would have been helpful. Boyan was one of the few guys who could go back to the basket and power into the post. I don't know who he'd do that on. Maybe if he got a mismatch on Morris or Murray or someone like that. His shooting's obviously elite. You know, Royce took a lot of those shots. Defensively, he would not have helped us. And we didn't, you know, in fairness to Denver, I don't want to make this sound like sour grapes, and they didn't have Will Barton. We didn't struggle offensively, right? Like, Boyan is a help offensively. One of the most positive things, I think, for us moving forward is the fact that no matter who the power forward has been next to Rudy, if it's not Derek Favors, our offense has been really great. Right? Like, that to me, if I'm Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck and I'm sitting in the front office and I'm trying to build this roster right now, we've had Tabo Sefolosha, Jay Crowder, Jonas Jerebko, Royce O'Neal now. Like, a lot of players that are not elite level stretch fours. Bojan Bogdanović is. And we've been able to have great offensive teams. To me, that's a really, really important piece to our puzzle moving forward. Does that, that might to me mean that we have a little bit of a luxury on grabbing an athletic power forward who can be the secondary rim defender who's not as good a shooter and slide Boyan to the three. And then, I mean, then at times you have a lineup of Donovan, Joe or Royce, Boyan, an athletic four, and Rudy, and we're long. Like, in one move, we just went long. Mike Conley, Royce, Joe, this guy, Rudy, we're long. The lineup I'm intrigued by, I have no basis of whether or not it has any validity, is whether Jarrell Brantley can play a point center on a second unit. I'm not sure he can, but it's an interesting idea. T. Willis, how does the conversation go down with Rudy? Because there's no way we can afford to make him a supermax player despite the lack of post game, and I don't think Rudy will take that well. I think this is a incredibly astute point from Instagram. It's going to be hard to pay Rudy the supermax. There's no question on that. Most players have not wanted to do anything to play the supermax. Rudy's going to think he's worth the supermax because he's an NBA player who's great. It's going to take massaging the issue. Well, there's going to have to be a moment in which, you know, maybe Rudy's agency doesn't says, you know, we don't want to go on the market. Like, they're nervous. Like, I think Rudy gets paid if he goes on the market. Does Rudy get paid equal to Supermax if he goes on the market? Well, if he does, then this is a irrelevant point. Then you have to pay him the Supermax. So let's back up. The premise has to be that if Rudy went to free agency, he wouldn't get that money. Is that true? Now, we can only be the only ones who pay him the Supermax, so that is true. But how about awfully close to the Supermax? Like, if Rudy goes to the open market, does he get a max deal from someone? Then we better start, then we have to offer him, if you think yes to that answer, then I actually believe we have to offer more than a max deal. Because when we've said no to him on a Supermax, it's just the way personalities work. Same thing happened with Rodney Hood, really. I always felt like we could have offered Rodney Hood a contract, which was less than what he thought he wanted. He could get the same contract from somebody else. It'd be okay. Right? So Portland gave him the same contract we gave him. It's insulting if we give it to him. It's okay if Portland gives it to him. I feel like the same thing could happen on a Rudy front. If we tell Rudy no on the Supermax, then we bring it down to regular contracts and we're offering the same thing somebody else is, I could see where Rudy feels like it's insulting from us. And since it's the max amount that another team could give him, that it's actually a compliment. You follow that? It's a little tricky. Today's show also brought to you by Homey. They're changing the real estate market. They're doing remarkable things to save you money. The old market, you know, everything's commission-based. You build your house up to be as great as it can be. You do your landscaping. You do your gardening. You do your add-ons. You do all your stuff. And then the real estate agent makes more. Why? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So now Homey is going to try to save saving you money on both ends. And the remarkable thing about Homey is that Homey is saving their customers, sellers, almost on average $10,000. The other thing is they're selling homes faster than the market value and for more money than the market, or the market rate and the market value. Pretty impressive. Text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Check Homey. Text LOCK to 88588. Today's show is also brought to you by Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off, blame up ourselves, saying it's like I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like I had a long day at work, or you know, whatever it might be, I'm not feeling it. With Roman, it's easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's safe, simple, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get an free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plans. If the medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you. Free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. So get started by going to roman.com/lockedonNBA. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. Getroman.com/lockedonNBA. All right, let's get back to the questions. This is our fantasy land. I'm sorry, Rudy isn't worth the Supermax. Do everything in your power to get Anthony Davis. Yeah, so this is actually, let me go back to the Rudy Supermax question. So let's say Rudy isn't worth the Supermax. Let's say we all agree on that. I don't know that I totally agree on that. I'm actually not sure I think anyone's worth the Supermax other than maybe like Luka, LeBron, Giannis. Right, I think my list on that might be three players. And if we might end up having to give Donovan the Supermax, I'm not even sure, then really an issue. What are you replacing Rudy with? All right, it's great to say Rudy's not worth the Supermax. What would you replace Rudy with? Because we become the... if we don't have Rudy, who are we? We're bad. Right? You lose your, one or two best players, you're bad. That's usually the way it works. That's what made Donovan's replacement of Gordon so special. It didn't happen. But that's usually how it works. So unless you've got a... So back to the conversation of like Supermax and how do you have this conversation, it's really complicated. Because yeah, Rudy might not be worth the Supermax. Then you bring him down to the regular max and he gets that same offer as somebody else and he thinks, well, that's better because they gave me the max of what they could and the Jazz didn't. And so now you have a chance of losing him. Woo! Now what happens? So do you have to just give him the Supermax because we're Salt Lake City, Utah and we're not going to attract players? We actually have a player who wants to be here? I don't know. It's really complicated. Philip Malone, who's one of our favorites, do we think that you could look at Donovan to be improved defensively? Donovan needs to get better defensively, but if you're going to ask him to have a usage rate of 30, you're not going to get a lot out of him defensively in the NBA. But Donovan did some things. Well, do you think Rudy would stay if we give Donovan the big contract and we can give Clarkson a deal to make him stay? So Rudy's not a free agent. Rudy's just super max eligible. So it's not like Rudy doesn't have a decision right now to make whether he's going to stay or leave. So maybe the other part of this is that you're offering Rudy money at a time when nobody else can offer money. So maybe you can come to an extension number that feels good, that feels appropriately compensated, and it's money he can't get anywhere else, and so he has no risk. Right? I mean, it's just, there's a lot of pieces to it. So it's not as though Rudy could leave right now. Question on Instagram just came in. Can we get Favors back? We can. He's a free agent. The reality is, if you're going to start paying your... All right, there's two realities here. One is that centers in the NBA don't make money. Like, the where the market's gone, the backup center in the NBA is like a $1 million position. So we have Ed Davis already on the books for next year. We got to deal with that. See if there was something physically wrong with him or if he can bounce back in some way. Or if it just time has bit him. But that was, he had a tough year. So the next part of this is, can you get Favors back? You can. I actually think you get, if Favors, this sounds crazy because Derek's good. So one is, Favors is really going to come back and just be Rudy's backup center for 14 minutes a night. Like I love Derek. I'd love to have Derek back. He's one of my favorite guys. Like, I don't get it, actually. I'm going to be totally honest. I don't get it. So is he going to come back just to play 16 minutes a night behind Rudy? Because we've actually proven that we're a better team. We, like, Derek and Rudy together, we couldn't score. We were great defensively, but we couldn't score. So if you're bringing Derek back, you're really bringing him back to be, unless, so there's some unique lineups, for the most part, to play 16 minutes a night as a backup center to Rudy. And then that position in the NBA right now is a $1 million a year position. So, yeah, if you check all those boxes, he'd be the best backup center in the NBA. And I guess at times you could play him a little bit more and you try to get him a few more minutes. You play some where we play two bigs, I guess. But we've done that and we struggled with it. Like, I'm not sure why we want to go back to that. And the game's certainly not going in that direction. Unless, here's the wild card. Like, I don't know if Derek can guard out on the floor. People are going to stretch him out. We always had that problem. But, like, if a game's really just going to become an off-the-bounce three game, maybe you have that second big on the floor. I don't know. But I think the game's a stretched out drive, penetrate, kick, and now your big has to close on closeouts. The guy who asked the question says, no, he comes back as a starter if we have to dish Rudy. Yeah. I think that's a downgrade of considerable level. And I'm a Derek fan, so it tells you how much I like Rudy. Larry, as I'm about to sneeze. Excuse me. Ah, you're not allowed to sneeze in COVID. You do great work. Thank you for the great season. Two things. First, Paul George is the happiest person. Joe Ingles didn't make it the second round. interesting to hear your breakdown of Rudy. Oh, we just did that. Sorry. I saw the first part. Let's go to question number two. Let's go to the next question. Sorry, that was my bad. Could we see Mike Conley coming off the bench in more of a George Hill-type role next season, allow Mitchell to play point guard for most of the minutes on the floor? At 33, this starts to happen. But Mike was pretty good in the bubble. He averaged 20 points a game, and he was pretty good in the final 11 games of the season before the stop, and he's earning $30 million. So that's a lot to have. George Hill started coming at the bench when he was not making $30 million anymore, or when he was not making real big money. You know, he's at a pretty low number in Milwaukee. He was starting in Sacramento. So I think that's a hard number for you to be bringing Mike Conley off the bench. Can Mike Conley become your primary ball handler against the second unit? Yes. And I think we found that. I think that's really valuable. How does that work with Joe, right? Is Joe becoming, as he gets to 33 years old, is he becoming a primary ball handler for the second unit also? And you might have two of them. Right? So you might have co-primary ball handlers. That's a delicate dance that needs to be tried to figure out in this offseason. Is Mike Conley at 6 feet, 6'1", Donovan at 6'1", a issue? Right? We just talked about size and length and how fast you can swing that size and length. You know, is Joe's kind of different style as a small forward a problem in any way that you really need him to play backup point guard because then you have better length and athleticism at your three or your four? These are the decisions that have to be made or the discussions that have to be had. And if that's the case, then is Joe really a backup point guard? So I think that's, you know, those are questions. Do you think Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, other Jazz players are back? When will the NBA come out with their schedule? That last part is really the question we have. Nobody knows. Adam Silver's last comments kind of seemed almost push us into January in order to get fans back. So December seems unlikely, he said. I do think Jordan Clarkson's back. I think he's been given great, I think, you know, credit to the front office for like seeing a value in Jordan Clarkson, getting a player of Jordan Clarkson's value for Dante Exum, where Dante is in his career. Huge credit to that. And then part two of that credit is that Quinn kind of found a way to make Jordan incredibly valuable in that system and the way he was playing. And so I think Jordan's got a nice match here. I think he's comfortable here. I think it fits. He's like from San Antonio, so the small market thing's not crazy. He lives in LA. It's close. Like, I think he and Quinn are super tight. I think it works. I think the money's there for it. Now, like, you have to make a choice on some of these things. So we've been talking about this, like, imaginary player that makes us long again and adds athleticism as a secondary rim defender. Like, well, maybe that's the money that you're using for Jordan Clarkson, so then you have to make a decision. Like, these are all just tough decisions. You can't actually just get all of it. So while I do think Jordan Clarkson's back, I think everything lines up for him back, I think everyone's comfortable with everyone, I think it works, what happens if the money is available for that player that we're talking about, this imaginary unicorn of a player who is able to like suddenly turn us from being small to big? And maybe lets us get back to being elite defensively, doesn't hurt us too much offensively, because we've kind of learned with Rudy that whoever's at the four turns out to be all right. And you've slid Boyan to the three, and now you're sliding Royce or Joe to the two, and now you're bringing Mike Conley and Joe Ingles off the bench, and now Jordan Clarkson's in that mix, and that doesn't really work because that's another ball handler. Like, Joe shot one every 10 minutes while on the floor with Mike Conley, but that's also because every time he's on the floor with Mike Conley, he's on the floor with Jordan Clarkson or Donovan Mitchell. Right? So, how does that work? Do you think Jarrell Brantley or Juwan Morgan can defend the rim at a high level and develop a good three-point shot? Well, Spencer, it's a great question because those are the questions that will dictate their careers. Brantley's a little different because he can play with the ball in his hands and he can be a natural distributor and move the ball and do those kind of things. But an adequate three-point shot is 33%. Sure. I think both Juwan Morgan and Jarrell Brantley become 33 to 34 to 35% three-point shooters. Sure. Protect the rim. Less likely. Less likely. That, if Jarrell's really 6'5", Juwan doesn't seem to have a big burst. Now, Juwan's body's going to get better in his career, and so I think that could change things. All right, let's quickly take one or two more. Appreciate the questions. Great audience today. It seems the best move is to put the ball in Donovan's hands when D'Antoni made Harden a point guard. We all thought he was nuts. Then Harden became the greatest scorer. When we didn't have Conley in game one and game two, Donovan became our point guard and goes crazy. I think we're closer to that. That's kind of where I opened the show. We're closer to that than we were. That's the biggest change to me of where the franchise is than it was 16 months ago. That would be my thought. That's the biggest area of where we would be. I think I'm getting a lot of the same questions. Let me quickly check. All right, Tony Anderson says something you said yesterday's Pocket Rancher. You talked about how Rudy sometimes didn't seem to realize how far out he could go when guarding Jokic. He has the ability to recover, but he feels like a fish out of water when he does. I think stepping out and closing those gaps will be the next evolution in his game, and I just wonder how the series would have gone if he had done that. 100%. But you said it perfectly, Tony. Rudy's really uncomfortable out there. So the more he does it, the more he does it, the more he sees it, the better he gets, the more he realizes he can recover. And like when you think about this, if you think about the block on DeLon Wright, like, which was super incredible, he spun around, came back and made the block. It's pretty similar to the play where Steph Curry spun him around, stepped back, hit the three, and everyone made fun of him for 2 years. Right? So though it's a fine line there. Like when he's being spun around, it doesn't feel good. He's so incredible, he recovered. But it makes it very complicated. All right. Philip Malone wants to know about Aaron Baines because he's from Australia. But yeah, I mean, he's a stretch five who's big. If he's willing to play backup, he's for $1 million. I'm all for it. I just fundamentally don't believe in paying your backup center when you're paying for a center. Like it's that's the way the economic, you can't pay for everything. Like at some point you've got to have minimum players on the floor. Now, maybe we're going to go look at all the guys who end up making the NBA Finals and at the end and look and say, well, they're not doing that. And then we have to I'll have to reevaluate that thought. What is the position the Jazz biggest need draft on? When you're drafting 23, I don't think you're looking position, but I think I might side athletically over skills. And we often decide because of our system. And this is interesting, right? Like this is kind of who we are. We usually go skills over athleticism because then they can fit into our system. Maybe we go athleticism over skill and hope we can teach the skill. It's harder to do. You can't. It's hard. At 23, you're not getting somebody who's both. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks very much on the Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope end of things. The interaction between you guys was great today. I love the fact you guys are all talking to each other. On Instagram, you're awesome too. Appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping in and being a part of it. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Friday edition of Locked On NBA is Anthony Adam. I do want to tell you, we have a brand new Locked On NFL show that debuts today. We're going to use the local experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, a big time brand new Locked On NFL show. And if you're an NFL fan, Peacock and Williamson are moving over to their own feed and their own channel and their own show. It's still part of Locked On, but an exciting day for Locked On. So make sure you grab both those. Thanks very much for tuning in. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a great day.